Can you just wave those hands to the Lord and bless Him? Wave those hands to the Lord and bless Him. Wave those hands to the Lord and bless Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you for your mighty hand upon us. We thank you for your graciousness towards us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your covenant that is everlasting. Thank you for your grace bestowed upon us. We give you praise. Be exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Our hearts are open today, Lord, to receive your word. We ask that you speak to our hearts gently and specifically in the name of Jesus Christ. And let every man be changed by reason of your word. And we give you the praise for it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Let me hear your resounding amen. Amen. Glory to God. Please, you may be seated in the name of Jesus. You welcome the church. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. Amen. All right, we are looking at specific things about the Holy Spirit. Now, God has given us His Spirit to guide us. Therefore, the Spirit of God is our guide. We are led by the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So we are led by the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor, say to your neighbor, you are led by the Holy Spirit. Yes. All right, turn to someone else, say you are led by the Holy Spirit. Yes. All right, so we are led by the Holy Spirit. Now there's a world of difference between how God guided the people under the old covenant and how He guides us today. Under the old covenant, God led His people through prophets. Amen. He led them through prophets. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. So He guided them through prophets. Why? Because His people at that time had not been regenerated within. So He anointed prophets and revealed His will to them for the people. And then the people sought the will of God with prophets. And then they knew what God would have them do by so doing. But in our dispensation, in our time, in our day, we are not led by prophets. Prophets may come with confirmations of what the Lord had told us earlier, and prophets may bring to us the will of God concerning certain things, particularly the kind of times we are in, dispensation, and what God would have us come into the consciousness of. Okay? But prophets are not meant to lead us. The ministry of prophets is still relevant in the New Testament, praise God, but not in guiding the believer. The ministry of prophets is limited to revealing the counsel of God for the now, for the church, for the dispensation, for the time, and then bringing prophetic utterances as divine precipitates to bring forth the solubles of God's will in our hearts. That's what prophets do. Not that they guide us directly. They don't. Praise God. As many as are led. Come on now. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God leads us by the Spirit. Wrap your arms around yourself. Say, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I can't hear you. Wrap your arms around yourself. Say, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. So today, we're going to be looking at receiving divine guidance. Hallelujah. Receiving divine guidance. Guidance here simply means God showing you the way to go and the steps to take. You know, direction or guidance is actually explained in two ways. The first is which way to go, path. The second is what are the steps to take on that path? Praise God. Okay? So you may know the way to go, so you already have your bearing. You know which direction to go, but you don't even know how far you ought to go before you make a left or make a right turn. Are you for what I'm saying here? So you need steps. You need steps. You need to understand the steps that God would have you take. Now, Psalm 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, the word of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that means the word of God will guide our feet. What do we do with our feet? We take steps with our feet, right? Okay, so we walk. I may walk this way. I may walk this way. I may walk this way. Okay? So, but what makes the difference here is actually knowing the way to walk. Amen? So it tells us feet here, steps, and then a light onto my path, direction. Did you see it? So when you are taught by the Spirit of God and the Word of God is revealed to you, listen very carefully, you will know two things about your life. The way to go and the steps to take on that path. David said, the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. There's a path of unrighteousness. It's not like you are sinning or doing evil. No. It's not sinning here. There's a path of unrighteousness. That means the path that God had not cut out for you, and things that will happen on that path will take you out of God's will for you. Amen? And then you come into certain things and you're asking questions. How did I get myself into all this? Praise God. Now, it's one thing to be holy or godly. It's another thing to be led. There are people who are righteous, as in living righteously, who are holy, but they are ignorant of which way to go in life. Praise God. So receiving divine guidance here is going the way that God will have you go and knowing how far you must go on that path before you make a right or a left turn. Amen? Sometimes God says, stop. Wait. And then he says, move. Stop. Make a left turn. Make a right turn. Amen? You see, these are steps. Steps. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, he says something very profound here. He says, Lord, I know that the way, come on, say way. Now, the way here talks about the path, the direction you must follow. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So you see the word path or way, and then you see the word steps there. Amen? Or feet. If you say, Lord, guide my feet, you are saying, Lord, guide my steps. David said, order my steps in your word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. There's a path you take. If you go on that path, you start misbehaving. You didn't start misbehaving. All right? But because that's not the path God would have you go. Amen? Amen? And so you see certain things will begin to happen there. So there's a path of righteousness. There's a way that seems right unto a man. It looks good. It seems right. But the Bible says the end thereof are ways of what? Destruction. See? So, what God is saying here, in essence, is that he must lead you for you to know the way you must go in life and the steps to take. Divine guidance is all about knowing which way to go and the steps to take on that path. Can someone say amen to that? Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps, I want you to see this again. Mark the word steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The good man delights in the way of the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you see steps, and then you see way. Now, God may reveal to you that I want you to be an engineer. Okay, but you understand that in the world of engineering, there are different dimensions to it, right? You don't just say, God said I'll be an engineer. So what I like in my heart is chemical engineering. Amen? No. God might have revealed to you that it's his will for you to go into the ministry. Does not necessarily mean that you should start a church. You see, these steps, sometimes people assume a lot. All right, and that's why sometimes God will tell you certain things, and then he will tell you to wait on him for certain other instructions. Why? Because if you don't wait on God to receive other instructions as accompanying instructions to the original instruction God gave you, you may miss God. Some know the way to go, but they just keep going and keep going. And God says, I want you to make a turn now, right turn. The guy is just going. God said, I should be going. God didn't say that. He just showed you the way. Wisdom says, Lord, how far do I go? Where do I stop? Steps. Come on, say steps. Yes. I can't hear you. Come on, say steps. Yes. There are times we misunderstand the leading of the Spirit of God, not because God isn't saying something to us. We actually perceive that God is saying something to us. But we are not specific or clear on what God is saying to us. For example, you may have a witness in your heart to be benevolent. You just perceive that there's this compulsion of the Spirit, the compelling power of God on you to just give and be a blessing to people. Praise God. Does not mean you should just go and withdraw 100,000 and go out there in the neighborhood and start distributing money to people. Okay? Now, God has revealed to you his will, and then you have to be instructed in the will of God. Amen? Now you ask yourself, Lord, I have this compelling desire within me to be a blessing to somebody. So who do I bless? How do I go about it? Amen? I said amen. Amen. Good. So steps and way. Steps and path. Glory to God. In Psalm 32 and verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with mine eye. It says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So it says, I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way you should go. And then it says, I will guide you with mine eye. You know what that means? Steps. I will instruct you and teach you, go this way. And then I will guide you with my eye. You're going too far. Hey, stop! Amen? Glory to God. And that's how God guides us. Can someone say amen to that? And when God led the children of Israel from Egypt and was leading them towards the promised land, the Bible tells us that there were two options. There were two ways that they could have taken. There was the way of the Philistines. Amen? And then there was the way of the Red Sea. The way of the Philistines was actually shorter to Canaan land, to Canaan. Amen? But God said, no, I'm not going to lead them by that way. I'm going to lead them by the way of the Red Sea. Why? I don't want them to see war and be intimidated and turn back to Egypt. Amen? Praise God. So God said, I will lead them by the way of the Red Sea. So that means God himself evaluates the options available to us, before us. And he sees those things. He scans through by wisdom. He gets to the end, and then he comes back to the beginning. And then he says, don't go through that path. He says, Lord, no. This thing is looking like I'll make it quick. I'll get there quick. And God says, no, don't go that way. Amen? Now, the way of the Red Sea, the way of the wilderness, was hard, was difficult. But it was God's choice for them. Because God wanted to lead them by that way, to prove their heart, to humble them, to learn one lesson, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. There's a path you can follow or take in life that you will not learn anything of God. If you choose that path because it is the easy way to go, all right, you just realize that you are not being trained or prepared for destiny. But the way that God chooses for you is the way that will groom you and train you and prepare you for destiny. There are people today, they are just growing and adding age to their years, but they are not being developed. They are not being groomed, trained for destiny. There's a path God will take you through. It may be challenging. God is going to be with you on that path, and he's going to groom you. He's going to drill you and bring you into that understanding of life, of his purpose, of his plan for your life. But if you go your own way, you will learn your own lessons. Not the lessons God wanted you to learn. Amen? It's very important. So, you need to be led by God. Amen? It's a need. It's a necessity. Amen? Now, where God is taking you, I tell you, you don't know the place. You may make a confession of faith. I know where I'm going. I know the will of God. It's a confession of faith. Amen? You're just exercising yourself in faith. Are you what I'm saying here? But you don't know that place God is taking you. That very place is taking you to. You don't know the place yet. Amen? You don't know. Abraham didn't know. Everyone who walks with God doesn't know. Everyone who ever walked with God didn't know. They didn't know where God was taking them to. They didn't know it. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, look at it. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will what? Show you. Not unto the land that you know. You don't know anything about what God, all right, is set to do next. You may have a witness in your spirit, but you don't know. If I take you by the hand, Pastor Sheyo Renuga, okay, and I say, follow me to a place that I will show you. All right, at that point in time, that very moment, this very moment now, in this case, amen, what happens? You surrender to me. Surrender to my leadership, right? Yes, because you don't know the way. You don't know where I'm taking you. Are you for what I'm saying here? So, if you see something that interests you, all right, you refuse to be distracted. Amen? You follow the one who is leading you in the way. Amen? You keep following. Now, listen very carefully. You didn't design your destiny. You did not come to the place of saying that, look, you know what? I'm going into the world, and I'm going to enter into the world through Mr. and Mrs. Fanimoku. And I'll be born in Nigeria. And I'll be born on the 22nd of April, 1978. And I will step into the world, and I'm going to do 5 things, and I'll be done. I'll do this, and this. I'll be done. And then I will die at 75 or 80 years. Let's say 75 now. And then leave. Amen? Now, to just stagger you a bit, there were decisions you didn't make for yourself. You did not make the decision of your gender. I'm going to be a male child or a female child. You didn't make that decision, did you? No. You didn't make the decision of the parents that will give birth to you and the conditions around your birth. Destiny chose that for you. Praise God. There are certain decisions you can make. You make those decisions, they are your decisions, and you face the consequences of them. But there are certain decisions that you cannot make in life. In this life, you cannot make those decisions. They are decisions that are made for you. You may not like them, but those are the decisions that God will make for you. He's already made them, and he will reveal them to you. This was what Jeremiah was saying. Lord, I know that the way of man is not a software that runs in him. It's not in his hardware. Your way is not in your brain. I know you're smart. I know this church, there are a lot of smart people here. They can think for the world. Amen? But you see, the way you must follow in life is not in your smartness. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yes, now, do you know there are some people today, they've never sought God to know the way that they must follow in life. They only accept options that are available. Amen? Now, the way that God would have you go may be within the options available to you, and may be outside the circumference of those options. Are you following what I'm saying here? Let God lead you. Ordinarily, the children of Israel would not have followed the way of the Red Sea. Never. Are you following what I'm saying here? That Red Sea, never. You cannot. Wilderness, never. But listen, before God can bring you to your wealthy place, he will lead you in the way that men will ride on you. They will ride over you. All right? He will take you through the way of the furnace. Someone says, that one is difficult. Huh? And then he will bring you to your wealthy place. Look at Psalm 66. It's there. You see, if you want to get there, the place called there, all right, God will be the one to lead you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. It says he has caused men to ride over our heads. Because ordinarily, when you see men coming, they want to ride over your head, you change the path. Mm-hmm. Say, I'm not Mumu now. All right, but God says that's the way. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into what? A wealthy place. So there's a wealthy place God is taking you. He's taking you to that place because that is the place of your destiny. There's geography in destiny. There's placement in destiny. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. One may lead his life by circumstances. Amen. And when you go by circumstances, you will have a circumstantial destiny. Destiny is your destination, where you end up. Amen? And God says, no, don't go that way. I have a way for you. Praise God. See it? Because I was asking myself, you know, that way of the wilderness was really difficult for Israel. There were days they were without water. There were days that they were hungry. Amen? I said amen. Amen. And there were days that they felt like going back to Egypt. True? But God said, look, I'm going to lead you by the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, to that place. Canaan land. Are you aware there is a Canaan place for you? Yes. It does not matter how it feels right now. Listen very carefully. God is taking you to that Canaan place. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
And my prayer for you is that God will lead you.
Amen.
And you'll be led.
Amen.
God will guide you.
Amen.
And you'll be guided.
Amen.
God will instruct you.
Amen.
And you'll be instructed.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Praise God. See? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Good. So this is very, very powerful. This is very powerful. Now, there are times the leading of God, in fact, most times, the leading of God does not make sense to us. I mean, natural sense. Are you for what I'm saying here? Let me give you an example. Isaac was in Gerar. There was famine in Gerar. You're in Nigeria. The government is not doing well. Common sense says relocate, right? That's it. God says, no, don't go. Stay in Gerar. He said, well, all my friends have left. You stay in Gerar. Genesis 26. Say, me, I will relocate too. If everything is fine, then I'll, you know, when everything gets fine, I'll come back to Nigeria. No, God says, don't relocate. For some people, amen? Don't relocate, stay. You know, I'm going. I'm leaving. Amen?
Amen?
And how many of us, let's be sincere here, how many of us here who are planning to travel have heard God to leave? I'm not talking about, you know, you desire something so much and you impress it on God as an idol and said, look, I don't want a David, give me a Saul. A king is a king. Amen? King Saul is a king. King David is a king. Just give me a king. And God says, wait, I'll give you a king. He said, no. All the Gentile lands around us, countries, they have their own kings, their own kingdom. We're only running priesthood. It's a prophet who is also a priest that is leading us, Samuel. No, we want to be led by a king. And God says, okay, take Saul. Now, let me tell you something. If you push on God strong enough, you will be led by the idol in your heart. You will see dreams. I'm telling you. You will see dreams and you see yourself. You know, I saw myself. There was this white guy and I saw Canada on her chest. Amen? I said amen. Wherever you want to go, you eventually go there. That's the truth. That's why before you start having strong desires, compare notes with God. Compare notes with God. It might be a small desire there and I'll say, let me pray about this thing, before it gets so strong. And when desires become very strong, all right, you cannot hear what God is saying anymore. God is saying, except there are people interceding for you. Serious intercession. And God intercepts that process. Something happens. All right? You now hear a dumb ass speaking like a man. And then you know that, God doesn't want me to go. Amen? Before this, I always say, before desires get very strong, go and pray. Take time to pray. As a child of God, we don't lead ourselves. Unbelievers may lead themselves. They are not born again. We don't do things the way they do things out there. As many as are led by, come on now, the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. You are led by the Spirit. I am led by the Spirit. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
That's it. So God told him, he said, hey, stay in Gerar. But the man obeyed God. Amen? He obeyed God. Look at what happened. Jump to verse 12. And Isaac sowed in that land, and the Lord what? He sowed in that land, and the Lord what?
Blessed.
Come on. He sowed in that land, and the Lord what?
Blessed.
The Lord blessed him. Who blessed him? The Lord. Where did he sow? In that land. Where? Gerar. What was happening there? What was going on there? Famine. So that means he was doing his business in scarcity, in austerity, in economic meltdown, inside of it, within it. And he was making money in billions. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Lord said, stay. Now, let me tell you something. There's one step, just one step between life and death. There's only just one decision between following God and missing God. Just one decision. That's why you don't joke with your life. You are not an experiment. I say you are not an experiment. You didn't hear me. I said you are not an experiment. Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world, from the beginning of the world. God designed your destiny before the beginning of the world. So you are not an experiment. So you have to be careful, beloved. If there's anything that is the fear of God, dread of God in my heart, I say, Lord, I don't want to miss you. Please don't let me miss you. I'm not talking about afraid as in negative fear, reverence. It fills my heart. I don't want to miss God. Now, why is it important to be led by God? God bless you, beloved. Amen. Psalm 23 and verse 1. This is very important. God has provided for you everything you would ever need for life and godliness. God has made provision for you already. Amen? You see, the provision of God, listen very carefully, does not come to you. You are led to the provision of God. If you will not let God lead you, you provide for yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? He's my shepherd. Now, why is he my shepherd? He's my shepherd because he's meant to lead me, to guide me, to instruct me, and bring me to that place of rest. Look at the next verse. He says, look at verse 2. He makes me to lie down where? Who does that? No. Let's be very specific now. Who does that? The shepherd. Your shepherd. My shepherd. Are we together? Come on now. Are we together? So many of us, we are praying that provision will come to us. God says, I will have to lead you to it. Because on the way that I've cut out for you to follow, I have strategically positioned helpers, provisions, resources on the way. Come and say on the way.
On the way.
I can't hear. Come and say on the way.
On the way.
You may get to Mara and the water is bitter. And God says, listen very carefully. I had a plan. All right. Moses, stop crying. Stop murmuring. Look at that tree. Cut it. Cast it into the water, and the water was cured. And there he proved them. He made a statute with them and a covenant. And he revealed himself to them that I am the Lord that healed thee. Praise God. Because let me tell you something. The way that God has cut out for you to follow at every point of difficulty, challenges, there's a revelation of God waiting for you there. If you go your own way, you won't face any challenge and you will not know God. Because at the point where the water was bitter, God revealed himself to them as Jehovah Rapha, in Hebrew, Rafika. Amen? I said amen. He cured the water there. Praise God. See? So, listen very carefully. That way, oh dear, that way is the way of grooming, of training. Your provision is there for you. The revelation of God is waiting for you right there. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. If I didn't go through the way that has brought me here, I would not have known God the way I know God today. There are certain things I know about God. Amen? I tell you. Praise God. There are certain challenges, listen very carefully, God will take you above them. In other words, you will leap over a wall. And there are other challenges, God will take you through them. Do I walk through the... He didn't say, though he took me over the valley of the shadow of death. Because he will take you through it. There's something that, you see, that trust in something, in somebody, in an uncle somewhere, he will sieve that thing away from you. So that when you go through that thing, on the other side, when you come out, your trust, your only trust, your absolute trust is in Jehovah alone. Some see trust in their uncles. There are some of you here now. When you are praying, you see that your prayer is not pure. Because it's like, Zedama Ekra. This God doesn't answer quick. There's somebody I can call and all that. But there are some of us, when we pray, God knows that we trust in him. Some may trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Is it? Because the path God will take you through, you will get to a point, there's only one person that you trust. Absolutely. When you pray, you've learned to pray. You've learned to call upon the name of the Lord. Your prayer is sincere because God took you through the path where you woke up in the morning, early in the morning, 2 a.m., Makatabra City, pacing the floor, Rekatamara Sokotila Brahaya. Amen. Now you can pray like Elijah. Hear me, oh God, hear me. Amen. Before it was done praying, fire came down. The fire of God fell on the altar. Why? Because, you see, God knows where he's taking you. Please don't compare your destiny to that of your friend or your colleague or your brother or sister in church. He knows where he's taking you. Amen? The kind of training, I remember those days, God would wake me up early in the morning on campus and he will begin to instruct me. He instructed me so much. He said, go to sports center, a place where, you know, they do sports there, but Christians used to pray there. And he said, look, go there and pray. 1 a.m., 2 a.m., the hand of the Lord will come upon me, cold. Shh. The thing will end, you can't sleep thereafter. You cannot. It will come on you, shh. I said, Lord, what is it? Stand up, go and pray. Then one day I got angry. I said, Lord, why are you treating me like this? Am I the only Christian in this room? Because everyone in that room, everybody was a Christian. So when I got up one day and I went to pray, the Lord said to me, he said, the people that you see now, those who are ahead of you right now in church, you will still lead them. So I need you to prepare for your destiny. You're a leader. You will lead in your denomination. You will lead in the body of Christ. Okay? So I knew why God was taking me through that training, that path. Amen? And some people look at me and I say, Pastor Egun gives. He's very benevolent. God dealt with me. He removed greed from my soul. Amen? We're doing a project then. We had to buy our fellowship a bus. And we were just, you know, everybody was contributing money. We stretched ourselves and we're giving 250 naira per person. So I felt, well, as their pastor, I should do more. Praise God. So I did 500. I had 750 naira with me. So I had just 250 naira left. So I was going back to my hostel. And as I was walking towards the room, I took the first step up, the second step. The word of the Lord came to me and said, drop the last 250. Oh, boy. I was angry. I said, Lord, do you want to kill me? I was angry. So I got back to my room, J204. Praise God, PGO. And I was there. And I sat down. I couldn't enjoy myself. I lay on the bed. It was difficult. You see, if you love God and disobey God, you will never find rest. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. I sat down. I was not comfortable. I lay on the bed. You know. So I said, Lord, you know what? I will obey you. I said, Lord, I will obey you. I will obey you. Do you love the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Or you just want to get what is in his hand? So I said, Lord, I will obey you. The moment I said that, there was this peace that came. It was so strong, flooded my soul. And I said, Lord, thank you. So I went to the fellowship. I looked for the treasurer. I gave, because then there was no online transfer. Amen. So I gave the money, 250. I thought God was going to come to my rescue a week after, or 2 days after, or a day after. For like 2 weeks or thereabout. No dime, no money, no provision anywhere. Oh, God dealt with me. It was the way of the wilderness. It dealt with me. So I will go from house to house, room to room. I'll sit down, I'll break the word of God with them. All right? And just share and share and share. And until it gets to the point that the food is ready, and then I can eat lunch or dinner. And then that was how I lived my life without money for like 2 weeks. And then thereafter, somebody sent for me and gave me 5,000 naira. Praise God. And I held it in my hand. The consciousness was not to, hey, let me go and buy something. I had learned to trust in God. I said, Lord, what do I do with this money? It was as though I felt it deep within my heart that the Lord was smiling, that he's got the lesson. I'm not trying to take money from him. I just want him to trust me so I can put so much in his care. And then the Lord said, just remove your tithe and enjoy the rest. I just used my godly discretion. I sowed another seed. 250 naira. Praise God. And then God blessed me with 50,000 naira. Amen? 5,000, 50,000. I had learned to trust in God with my resources. You see, some of us, you don't know. You just see somebody here like this. Just here. You don't know why God is just blessing them or not. The heart. It's the heart. It's not the clothes. It's not the look. God is no respecter of persons. It's not my height. It's the heart. You know heart. Yeah. It's the heart. Praise God. So God will lead you. He will lead you. Now listen, you must have a desire in you to be led by the Spirit. Have a desire in you. You are a child of God. You are not meant to go by circumstances. You are not meant to go by reason. You are not meant to go by how you feel feelings. You are meant to go by the word of God, the leading of the Spirit of God. He's taking you somewhere. All my life when I was in Ife as an undergraduate and after then, all right, I didn't like Lagos. I didn't want to live in Lagos. For what? I was enjoying my peace in Ife. It was so peaceful. Praise God. And then the Lord spoke to me. Study the book of Matthew. So what is then Matthew? So I began studying the book of Matthew. And then I kept seeing this clause, Capernaum by the wayside. By the seaside, rather. All right, Galilee by the seaside. So I said, Lord, what is this seaside all about? And the word of the Lord came unto me. Now it's time to go to Lagos. Not mainland. Lagos by the seaside. Oh, I saw it. Amen? If there's any prayer, I only pray for things because I know things are in the way of the Lord. If you are led, you'll be fed. If you are led, you'll be fed. If you are led, you'll be taken care of. When God leads you, He will feed you. When He leads you, He will take care of you. Hallelujah. So let me quickly say this. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31. This is my, some of you are wondering, this is my sermon note, so you see it. I don't hide things. Can you see it? So I don't be like, what is this man looking at? Can you see it? Parashala? Praise God. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. In other words, you know you cannot go to some places, but you send your mother, your cousins there and say, help me ask the Baba what is going to happen. All right, but in our church, we don't believe in going to all those places, but you may go to those places for us. If they tell you they want to go somewhere for you, tell them, I'm not interested. Oh, look at it. God says, regard not them that have familiar spirits. Neither seek after wizards to be defied by them. If they get counsel for you from there and they bring something to you and say, look, all right, you are just going to stand on mortar. Huh? And raise one leg like this. Then they now spiritualize it. You'll be reading Psalm 23. It will defile you. You start having nightmares. You don't know where those things are coming from. Don't let them go and bring something and say, bath with this one. Your boss will start liking you. When the hatred will start, will begin. It will not your boss. Your boss will like you, but everyone else, everybody. Your case is very difficult. Come back in 3 days. And then you come back and you're already in fear. And I'll tell you, that's how some of our parents, prophets, control their lives. And they are still controlling their lives. You want to join them?
No, sir.
Are you not the Abraham God called out of the all of the Chaldeans? He's taking you to a place, a land that will show you. He's called you out. You are a Christian now. You are still going to look at my palm. Look at this one. Then they say, open your eyes. You open it, they look at it. They say, you know. Don't yield yourself to those people, those who have familiar spirits. Read it in NIV. You have it there? Mm-hmm. Can you read it out loud, everybody? 1, 2, 3, let's go. And there's something God hates with a passion. Because God knows his worth, he is the only one who knows the way. If you ignore him, he will let you to be led by the ignorance of your heart. Look at how Saul of Kish ended his life. A man who was anointed. And towards the tail end of his life, he didn't obey God. He did not repent. You see, there are certain things you repent of. If you have tasted those things and like this, you repent. You cry with tears. Lord, I have not regarded you. Have mercy on me. And repent of it and let God purge you. Because it's one of the reasons why some of us are not led by the Spirit of God. Amen? You keep seeing masquerades. A Christian. Sometimes we see a bird with big eyes like this. They think, you wake up. Why? Because those altars are calling for you. And you say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God and all that. All right. Were you supposed to go there in the first place? Cut that thing off in the name of Jesus. Lift up your two hands. If there's anyone here, maybe your parents, they have entered into certain things, and those things are coming back to you. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, we cut you off from that in the name of Jesus. He says those things defile. They defile. They defile. That's what the word says. They defile. God says, no, don't go there. Seek me. Seek me. I will lead you. Amen. I will lead you. Seek my face. Now, if you know that, look, it's only God that can lead you. That's why when we pray, you see the way some people are serious. Some other people just, it's people who are not smart, who didn't go to school, that are praying that kind of prayer. Plan your life. Have a long-term plan. Think ahead 50 years. 5 years, break it down into 5 years or, 2 years interval. The first 2 years, where do you want to see yourself? Where are you going? Do you even know the way to start with? All right. You can only plan that way when you know the path God has cut out for you and the steps he has told you to take. You know the steps to take. Are you from what I'm saying here? All right. So you can now plan. Amen. I said amen. You know, there was one prophet like that, Wenife, had whatever, dreadlocks and, and was coming in my direction. My eyes were red. His eyes were red. There was an evil spirit in him. All right? I have the Holy Spirit in me. Praise God. And when he looked at me, he changed his mind. When they say, Arakuni, young man, Arakuni, he said, I'll slap your mouth. So that makes sense to that. Don't tell me nonsense. Amen. I said amen. Amen. You mean God will bypass the church system, the church structure, ministry of the word, tapes you listen to, mentoring. And your pastor is so daft, he can't use your pastor anymore. No believer around you, he's seen anything. And he will now go outside. And that is the challenge of the old prophet and the young prophet. All right? Someone says, well, beware of old prophets. Old prophets are not mentors. Yes, sir. Old prophets are not spiritual fathers. Old prophets are strange prophets. The young prophet came from Judah, came from another place. Are you know what I'm saying here? To another city, a different place to another city. The old prophet dwelt in that city. Are you from what I'm saying here? There was no connection between the old prophet and the young prophet in terms of mentoring and spiritual fathering. It was not like the kind of relationship that existed between Elijah and Elisha, Moses and Joshua, Paul and Timothy. It's just like, let me give you an example. Your pastor says this from God's word and says, I perceive you should do this. Why not pray about this? All right? By reason of the fact that, look, this is my pastor and he's pastored me over the years. You take time to pray about it. Amen? But if your pastor is saying something to you, are you what I'm saying here? And then, this is your spiritual father, this is your mentor. Then you now stepped out there, you now saw a prophet in white robe. And he goes at it. We walk by faith and not by what? If you have a prophecy said, which one is just jumping and shaking and all that? And then you now say, look, he's saying something to you contrary to what your pastor had said, consistent with God's word. And you follow that prophet. You don't have any mentoring, father-son relationship with that prophet. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. You just heard an old prophet. That's an old prophet. Because people interpret scriptures terribly. They behave of an old prophet. He's an old prophet. Did Elijah mislead Elisha? Did Paul mislead Timothy? Did Moses mislead Joshua? Old prophet. What are you saying? Amen. It's strange for somebody who is a stranger and now try stranger to bring you the word of the Lord. You must have missed God too much. And you must have been too stubborn that you're not listening to anyone. His message just, God will speak to you through the people around you. The people that he has led, all right, to lead you. God will say something and it will confirm what the Holy Spirit has already told you deep within your heart. Can someone say amen to that?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. So today we're just going to talk about the need to be led by the Spirit. Next week, by the grace of God, don't miss church. We'll continue. Let's be upstanding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lift up your hands and give God praise and thank him. Bless his holy name. Thank him. Thank him. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him praise. Thank him. Give him praise. Now, I want you to pray right now, just a prayer of submission to the will of God and say, Lord, I submit myself to you. I'm your child. Lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me, Lord. Lead me in the way that I must go. Lead me in the way that I must follow. Order my steps in your way. Order my steps according to your word. Come on, go ahead and pray. 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 Son talabrokosha kita labrete legrosha. Manto krosha kadila brahate grosha tila. Manda labrakito krosha. Father, we surrender to your will. Come on, go ahead and pray. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.